Stan, we're at the ABMI, Alberta Biodiversity Monitoring Institute's conference today, and you asked a question that sparked a lot of interest among people. You asked, is society ready to embrace the broader meaning of biodiversity? What did you mean by that?
Well, I think everybody has probably heard of that term, biodiversity, but when you start to probe someone on the street, or even many people in academia and government, when they're asked what biodiversity means, they tend to fall back to some fairly traditional views of what that entails. And often it's back to maybe wildlife species that we hunt, fish, or trap. Species that are of important concern or endangered, they fall into the biodiversity category. But in fact, that really just encompasses a very tiny subset of all the things that are considered biodiversity. And for many people, it might mean how many different species of plants and animals do we have in a system. But biodiversity has even been expanded to mean all pieces of ecology. And so the word has been useful in some ways, but now it's become so confounded with so many other ideas, maybe it's lost its utility. And the challenge ABMI has always had is to get a concept of broad biodiversity across to the public, to stakeholders, to partners involved in all of the work.
Over the years, one of the things that you've really worked hard on is to determine what the values are in terms of biodiversity, what it means to society, what it means to our economy. Can you broaden that out for me and explain that a bit more?
Yeah, it's always a huge challenge to try and attach direct monetary or return on investment value for biodiversity to our system. I think deep down, most people value it, and it's a value. So as one knows, it's very difficult to put dollar values on a value. So it makes it a big challenge. But in reality, I think what we're trying to pursue is I think everyone feels strongly that we can't exploit our lucrative resources like oil and forestry at the expense of totally destroying our environment. And so we're interested in how well the environment's doing. And biodiversity is a strong reflection of how well that environment is doing. So we use biodiversity, the species we monitor in ABMI, as an indicator of how well we're performing relative to our expectations. And it should be like any other sort of thing we manage and measure. We do that to set targets and actually assess our performance. And if our performance is substandard, we should change things to in fact improve it. But these things have to act as guides. And ABMI is certainly not in the business of trying to dictate which priorities there should be. It's a monitoring agency whose principal goal is to provide these key pieces of information to allow the managers to make good, reasoned decisions about trade-offs and meeting mandates about performance in the environment.
Well, the question you asked was about, is society ready? So that would indicate to me that there is a bit of a gap. So how would you define the gap, and how do we close that gap?
Well, right. I think maybe some great examples are some of the species we monitor in ABMI are things like mites and lichens and mosses. And so many people would be saying, well, why would we ever want to monitor there? What use are they to society? What utility do they bring? And it's a tough question to answer, but our feeling is that they are indicating of all the sorts of performances we expect out of the environment. Is the environment polluted? Is it having nice productivity or equivalent productivity to what it was before we were involved in the action? Are all the species still there? Those are the sorts of things we're using those species for as indicators of overall performance. And so I'm not sure if society is understanding that this broader assessment probably gives us a better barometer of our performance than the traditional species everyone has latched onto, i.e. how many moose do we have in the system? How many deer are there? What's the number of rare and endangered species in the area? Those are good indicators too, but by themselves, they may not be the best. particularly when we're dealing in a system like Alberta is, where many of the issues that have been created are ones that are, revolve around this word called cumulative effects. And so it's not just a single proposed project that's been an issue. It's multiple projects over a large planning area that has probably had broad implications on the species that are present. Well, ABMI is designed very well to get an idea of those sorts of changes on large spatial scales and over long time frames. So it'll really help people say, man, maybe I didn't see anything change over the last 2 or 3 years, but in the last 10 years, I've seen a 15-20% decrease or increase in the species in the area. Should I be concerned about that? Should we be doing our management in a different way to try and deal with those sorts of changes?
Stan, you and I have been talking about these things for over 20 years, and a lot has changed over time. We've become much more sophisticated in how we measure things, the kinds of things we're looking for. But we're also predicting that there's going to be huge change in the future for various reasons, including climate change and overdevelopment. What do you see as being, I guess, the message for people to take to heart as we look forward the next 20, 25 years?
I guess my view is that change is the norm. It's the new norm. It always has been the case, but I think traditionally in the past we felt environmental change is just bad. We have to keep it the way it is. And I just don't think that's been realistic, and it'll never be realistic. And with the advent of climate change, many of those things we don't have a short-term control over. And so we have to start to think carefully about how we will deal with that change from a management perspective. So there's going to be lots of changes in the distribution of various species. We will have new species come into an area from the south, likely. We'll have other species expand farther northward, and we'll have other species disappear out of parts of Alberta because of that changing overall climate. So management has some real big challenges in front of it as to sort of set what the targets should be under this changing world. But once those targets get set, you need a broad monitoring program such as ABMI to help give you a guide for whether your management plan is allowing you to achieve targets under this new regime or not. And if not, then what might someone do to in fact actually change the system in a way that we hope as managers meets our objectives and priorities. So it's really an exciting period of time, and these changes will be rapid in some ways, but they're going to be long term in other ways. So be some exciting things in the next 10 years, but 20, 30 years, the world will look very, very different than what we see right now. And without a long-term monitoring program like ABMI, many of the things that we see today will have been completely forgotten, because the new normal will be what people see in 20 years. And that's not necessarily bad, but boy, I'd like to have that understanding of how things have changed historically.
Thank you very much, Stan.
You're welcome.